Ask Jane now to come up and read for us, please. We've got two readings, one from Chronicles and the other from Matthew. Thank you, Jane.
Our first reading is from 1 Chronicles chapter 4. It's on page 405 of the Church Bibles and verses 9 to 10. Jabez was more honourable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." Jabez cried out to God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. And the second reading is Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. And that is on page 971. "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened." Amen.
We're looking at the importance of prayer this morning and how important it is to have this wonderful opportunity to pray to a living God who does hear and answer our prayers. One of the greatest obstacles in the way of believing that God answers prayer, that to do so would be to alter his own natural moral laws, and then hence to change his mind, which of course he never does. And the answer must be along such lines as to ask what is in God's mind for us. According to Jesus, it is fellowship with man and woman, and that is fellowship forever with him. All else subverts that great plan and prayer. The medium whereby man enters into communion with his God is surely to provide in the scheme of creation, as having a relationship with God in Jesus Christ, as it was intended right there in the beginning when he created Adam and Eve. As a church, we experience answers to prayer, whether it is direct or indirect, or whether it's immediate or deferred. And the final answer to prayer is summed up for us all in Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 8. "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened." Therefore, asking suggests a dependence on the person that we are asking, that is to have a dependence upon Jesus Christ himself. Seeking suggests a yearning for what we are looking for. Obviously, we are looking for Jesus to enter into our lives in such a way that we are overwhelmed by his blessings. Knocking would therefore suggest a persistence in what we are asking for through prayer. To pray like this is ready to pray in faith, knowing that our prayers are going to be answered. And if we continue to read in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, "The narrow and wide gates," our Lord warns us in verse 13 that the large masses of God's people will go down the broad road, rejecting God's way to life, as he has taught us in his word. But verse 14, the Lord urges us to enter through the narrow gate by seeking, and when we find it, by our own faith in seeking, there we will be greatly blessed by finding Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. But only through the narrow gate and the narrow road. With all that in mind, I want us to turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 to 10. And find an obscure gem. Few words. The prayer of Jabez. This is a gem hidden in 1 Chronicles, what one might consider to be quite a boring book. But in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, like a gem hidden under the ground, one day found, like one only dreams of, when walking across the field with a metal detector, finding all sorts of bits of metal and stuff, mostly worthless. And then one day your metal detector goes off the scale. You frantically dig down and find a Roman golden necklace or a Roman golden bracelet. Priceless. For years you've only been dreaming of such a find, and we know people do find such things. And now you have found by your persistence, so to speak, searching and finding, and now you are rewarded. This man, Jabez, is a gem that is hidden in the depths of 1 Chronicles. One may never come across such a gem, because it is hidden amongst the clans of Judah. He comes from nowhere. We know nothing about him from the start, and we hear nothing of him afterwards. Yet in these two verses is the most wonderful, wonderful gem that can be found in the Old Testament. These verses are worth more than any Roman golden bracelet or necklace. So follow me now in these two verses of Scripture that I believe if you have come here with an open heart and mind this morning, I don't see how you can go home being the same person that you were when you arrived. Let the prayer of Jabez this morning change your life as such a find with a metal detector would change your life if you found a golden Roman bracelet. It starts off, Jabez was more honourable than his brothers. His mother named him Jabez. Say, I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez in the Hebrew means pain. His mother suffered such pain in giving birth to her son. That is what she called him. How cruel is that for a mother? To name her son Jabez, meaning pain, because it gave her such pain. And there, Jabez would have had to have grown up with that. What's your name, boy? My name's Pain. Now, what's your first name? That is my name. My name is Pain. P-A-I-N-E. Can you just feel the teasing that he may well have gone through the bullying by his peers. All because he was given this name. He had to grow up with that throughout his childhood and into adult life. He would have to have defended himself by no end of things, I would think. Especially if such happened today, you can imagine a boy at school being bullied or teased because his name is Paine, P-A-I-N-E. And we know that goes on today. But Jabez got to a point in his life, believed that he was a farmer, and the opening gambit in that prayer says that Jabez was an honourable man, more honourable than his brothers. But he came to a point in his life where he had had enough and he wasn't going to be subject to what he's been subject to over his life. And now he comes to a point where he gets onto his knees and he probably prays to God in the way that he has never ever prayed before. Lord, bless me. In some manuscripts it says, Lord, bless me indeed. See, he wasn't content in just asking him, Lord, to bless me, but he's re-emphasizing it. I want you to bless me indeed today, Lord. Please, Lord, bless me indeed today. When was the last time, and I include myself in this, any of us pray such a prayer as this? Lord, bless me indeed today. How many of you can say you prayed that this morning? Prayed it last week? Prayed it last Thursday? We are so busy in our lives, it's unbelievable sometimes, as if we haven't got a moment to live. And as a church and churches, and as church people, and Kate and me do this every day, we pray for other people who need our prayers, who need us to intercede for them, and rightly so, because that is what we are called to do. We do what we can for the church. We do what we can for our families. We work hard at work and we're loyal to our jobs, loyal to each other. And we think about this and about doing that and providing this and providing that. And then we neglect our own personal needs. When was the last time any of us actually prayed for our own personal needs in the way that Jabez prayed? Lord, bless me indeed. Matthew chapter 7 verse 7. Ask, seek, find and knock, and these things will be added unto you. How many blessings do we forfeit for ourselves because we get so wrapped up in everything else? And yet the Word of God encourages us, yes, it encourages us to ask for ourselves. Why would Matthew 7 verse 7 say it if that wasn't to encourage us to come before God on a personal level? And seek his blessings upon our lives today. Sometimes we just let ourselves down. But it's scriptural to ask for the right reasons, that is. But just look more deeply into this gem of a prayer. Jabez doesn't stop at saying, Lord, bless me indeed. The second phase of this prayer is such a boldness. He not only wants the Lord to bless him and bless him indeed, he wants him to enlarge his territory. Being a farmer, that would have meant more land, more sheep, more goats, more whatever. Goodness man, Jabez, is being so bold. So bold that would any of us actually ask in such a way. So I now ask you this morning, what is your desire right now? In asking God not only to bless you, but at the same time to ask him to enlarge your territory, whatever your territory might be on a personal level. Jabez was so bold in asking. What is your dream in asking the Lord to bless you now? What is the desire of your hearts right now? What is it you want the Lord to do for you right now? What is your desire in asking? What areas of your life do you want transformed and territory to be enlarged? And be bold in asking. The word of God this morning, I believe, is asking us to be bold in our asking. I'm a literalist, and that means what is written in the Word of God is what is written because that is His inspired Word, and I believe it. I can't disbelieve what is written, because if that's what's written, that is the truth, and that is what we must hold on to, because that is the truth. And here's this gem, right in the middle of Chronicles, just two verses. Hidden. Yes, it's hidden there. It's something you will probably never ever come across, perhaps once in a lifetime. But it's there for a reason. It's there for us to read, it's there for us to study, and it's there for us to act upon. Otherwise, why would God have inspired the writer of Chronicles to have written it and put it there? It's there for us to read, for us to study, and for us to act upon. There's no other reason. So what stops us asking in such a way, other than perhaps our pride or stiff upper lip? In a few weeks' time, and that's all it is now, when our dear minister and family move on to pastures new, this church goes into an interregnum. Some of you will remember the last one. Others of you will have had no experience whatsoever of what an interregnum means. The deacons of this church will have a great deal of responsibility to get it right. But as a whole, what will the church be looking for in a new minister? What will your vision be for the future? Where do you want God to enlarge your territory for this church and its witness? What will your priorities be? And will you be able to pray the prayer of Jabez? Lord, bless us in this church today, indeed, and enlarge our territory that we may reach out and build on the foundations that you have given us through Michael. Only by constant prayer will this church succeed and be greatly blessed through the interregnum and on into a new minister. Without prayer, it will not happen. And believe you me, I've experienced a few where I've been an interim moderator in some churches where they've been in vacancy. And it can go wrong through lack of prayer. And when it goes wrong, believe you me, it goes wrong. So make sure you pray like you've never prayed before. And then the third phase of Jabez's prayer is, let your hand be with me. When was the last time any one of us as an individual person asked the Lord to touch our lives by his hand, by his strength, and by his love? When was the last time any of us asked the Lord to touch us by his hand, by the power of his Holy Spirit? Personally, that is. Touch me, Lord, and anoint me afresh by your awesome power, and never let me go, and praise your holy name. The fourth phase of Jabez's prayer. Jabez knew and understand, that's why he prayed the following. By asking for such a blessing, the enemy, the devil, would come after him. Because he was kneeling before God in such a way, in prayer and in asking, finding and knocking, the enemy doesn't like us asking, and he will do all he can to stop us getting closer to God in Jesus Christ. So Jabez asks now, having asked, Lord, to bless me and enlarge my territory and for your hand to be upon me, please protect me from the enemy. Please protect me from the evil one. Because I know how strong he is. And the only way I can protect myself, Lord, is praying before you to ask you to put that shield around me and protect me by your power, by your presence, so no harm will come to me. So when was the last time any one of us asked the Lord personally to protect me today, to guard me and keep me safe? I ask the Lord to protect me this morning and to keep me safe, to protect my voice, to give me the words to say. I arrived here on plenty of time with Kate just after 9:45, got myself ready, and realised I left my glasses behind. So I had to borrow Kate's car, which she doesn't like me driving. Drove like an idiot all the way back home to Urchester, got my glasses, and was back here in time to have prayer before I came up here. Was that the enemy just getting a digging at me? Maybe so, maybe not. But he tries. As subtle as it is, and as little as it is, he will still try to find our Achilles heel. He will still try to trip us up. And so we have to constantly be on our guard in protecting ourselves by coming before God and asking him for such protection. So we have a right to ask God to protect us and keep us from harm in our daily lives. And this is what Scripture expects us to do, by asking here in prayer. And Jabez is a fine example in asking. And the fifth phase of his prayer, so that I will be free from pain, these verses have been buzzing around in my head 2 or 3 weeks now, when God gave me this chapter and verse to share with you this morning, which brought me to a conclusion when we all at times suffer so much, sometimes through our own fault, because we don't live out our lives in the scripture, we don't live out our personal lives in God's daily teachings. We rather live out our lives in our own strength, and sometimes in our own stubbornness, and I'm sure we're all guilty of that at some stage. And in so doing, we forfeit so many blessings that God has for us, and forfeit them as we do, because we don't ask in the same context that Jabez asks. Jabez had awfully suffered some pain in his life, in more ways than one. And having been given the name that he was given, I don't know that he may have suffered psychologically, he may have suffered at times with depression because of what his mother thought of him at the time, and he had to grow up with that and live with that. And now at the point in his life, I'm not putting up with this anymore. I pray, Lord, keep me free from pain. I've had enough. What are your thoughts now in your own personal lives, having gone through this very short journey of just 2 verses that are hidden in the middle of Chronicles? What are your personal thoughts now? What is going on in your own mind right now? What is ticking through your heart right now? The Lord Jesus Christ, I believe, is calling us to prayer in such a way to turn our lives around and to never be the same again, and to become a new creation in him. And it all ends when he says, when Jabez had finished praying, God had granted his request. God had answered his prayer in full. He had everything he asked for. Goodness me, isn't that wonderful? Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez cried out to God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me free from harm, so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. My dear friends, only you can change and bring about your heart's desire through prayer. But you must do so through prayer, because there is no other way. May that resonate in our hearts and minds this morning and this coming week. And may we be a changed people and go forth in love and in grace, in friendship, and give the victory to Jesus Christ. to a more